It may seem a small, trivial thing to notice on this wonderful Christmas Day 2021, but whenever God or an angel shows up to speak to people, the most common thing, about 97% of the time, the first thing that has to be said is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the appearance of God or the appearance of those angels there on that Christmas night when the shepherds saw him, they were terrified. You can look all throughout Old and New Testament and find the same experience happening over and over again. But you notice how the shepherds are different when they go to Jerusalem, when they go to Bethlehem, excuse me, when they make their way there, when they go and see this thing that the Lord has told them about through the angels. They go and see Mary and Joseph and the baby, and there's no hint of terror or fear at all. There's no fear, there's no worry, there's no frightenedness and whatsoever. Instead, we hear them full of joy, full of hope, sharing the witness of everything that the angels had told them about this child, and people were amazed. It's funny. When people were scared of God, intimidated by religious things, and Jesus showed up, their fear went away. Their fear changed to hope, to a hungering for righteousness, for a change. And I'm calling today's message, When Love Appeared, because I think Christmas is that time we remember that God's perfect love appeared in the form of Jesus, born in that manger, born into this world some 2,020 years ago. Born, and that perfect love drives out fear and fills us instead with hope and strength and blessings that we really can't even count. So with that in mind, I want to dig in and share a bit with you today. And I think one of the first things for us to notice and realize is that really, though we are the ones that are scared sometimes, though the people in Old Testament times were troubled whenever God or an angel showed up, God has always been trying to show his love to us. When Adam and Eve had sinned, when they were hiding in the garden, when they were pointing fingers and blaming each other, God was just coming to walk with them, to be with them, to delight in them because he loved them. God's always trying to bring his love, and it seems as if it's been mankind's stiff arm. Say, no, I'll do it myself. I can handle it. That stiff arm has been there time and time again. But we can't change ourselves. We can't manage this life on our own. Or if we think we can manage this life pretty well on our own, I don't know too many of us that manage our own health all that well on our own. We end up going to doctors and nurses, hospitals. And we certainly cannot handle death on our own. At least not if we want to have that gift of eternal life that God offers to us. It's only love that changes us. It's only love, the love that appeared at Christmas, that caused no one to fear, that baby. Only love that really sets us free. I love how the Old Testament lesson tries to get across at this, how it expresses just this love that is bubbling out of the heart of God. You will be called holy people, redeemed of the Lord. You will be called sought after. Remember a time earlier in life when you had to find that gift, the one thing that somebody in your life, it was one of your children or grandchildren, maybe it was your spouse, whoever, they just had to have that thing. I can remember there was a time I wanted a cordless drill when they had first been invented, a little battery-powered thing, and they were, of course, so popular, they were sold out everywhere. Mary Beth couldn't find one. Or way back in the day, some of us might remember hunting and looking for Tickle Me Elmo, the It toy, back in when it was first introduced. Today, it's Xboxes and electronics that they can't keep in stock, and they're sought after. We want to get those gifts for ones that we love. To think of in that same kind of passion and that same kind of energy and urgency, God sought after us. Sought after us because he loved us. Sought after us, and the beginning of that Old Testament reading says, make the way smooth. In other words, I'll do everything, says the Lord. I will do everything possible to make it so my people can come back to me. That's a lot of love. He loved us so much that it says the sought-after ones, the city will no longer be desolated or deserted. It will be filled by people that I love and changed by them. But you know, it's not enough for God to say that he loves us. We've all experienced that where someone has said, oh, I love you, and yet they've done things that don't seem or feel loving. They've not told the truth, or they've not kept their word, or some way they've let us down, and they'll try to cover it all up by saying a quick, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you. It's not enough to just say the words, I love you. God knew that we needed an experience of love washing over us, of love not only being heard, but seen and felt. And so Jesus came close to show us what that love looks like, to show us how love acts to the broken, to show us how love comes close to heal the wounded, to show us how love reaches out to feed us by multiplying those loaves and fishes, and then even to die for us on the cross. Here's how our epistle lesson put it today. When the kindness and love of our God appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us in Christ our Savior. When the kindness of God and his love first appeared, that's what's happening in the manger. That's what we're celebrating here these 2021, 22 years later since it happened. Love and kindness appeared in human form. And unless you're a first-time father attempting to change your very first diaper, which I did find intimidating, most of us are not generally scared of babies. I'm scared of loud noises that I don't expect. I'm scared of you know, gunshots and all kinds of things. But I'm not scared of a little baby. Instead, I'm drawn to see if I can make him or her smile, drawn to see if there's a need that I can care for, drawn to see if I can see love in those eyes as I share love in those eyes. And you feel the same way too, don't you? There's something about a baby that just touches our hearts. And that's what God was doing. His love appeared in the form of Jesus. But then we have to stop and ask ourselves, why is love so important? Why is it so needed? I think a lot of us already know part of the answer to that is we can't really seem to make it through a day, make it through a week or a year without the assurance and the comfort and the support and the connection that love gives us. But there's even more to the side of that, and perhaps it's worth it for us to realize the context that Paul was inspired to write those words, that when the kindness and love of God appeared. What did he say before that? Well, if we go back one verse to Titus 3, verse 3, we read this. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and in envy, hating one another. It's funny how love gets twisted and it gets changed from this magnanimous expression we might have towards a baby or to the world, and instead self-love is what kicks in. I want what I need. I need to be taken care of. Oh, I might scratch your back, but you better scratch mine first. And that selfishness, as it scripture put it, being hated and hating one another, because there's just that we feel somehow, some way, there's not enough in this world. There's not enough for everybody, so I better get my share. Disobedient and foolish and thinking somehow love was limited, somehow there wouldn't be enough to go around, somehow nobody else would look out for us and care for us. So if it's to be, it's up to me. All of that, the settling for worldly love, the settling for self-love or selfish love, all of that is a part of how this world got so twisted, so hurtful, and it just gets worse and worse. They say that today. I mean, I don't think it's just the pandemic. I think it's the way our world has gone. We have more electronic means of connecting with people, and yet people feel more disconnected and depressed than they have at any time. They've been doing these surveys for the last 25, 35 years. More disconnected, more depressed. People say that they have one friend or no friends. The majority of Americans say that today because this isolation has kicked in, this sense of, well, if I'm not really going to get loved by anybody, I better just circle in and save whatever little bit of love I have for myself. You can imagine how the world gets a little darker, how our lives get a little colder, when that's the way that things are going. And yet God had a sign that he wanted to show us that his love really didn't have limits. It didn't limit itself to just stay in heaven. It didn't limit itself just to be spoken words by prophets from days long ago. No, that love came and reached out to us, entered into our flesh, entered into our world, became vulnerable and pierceable and approachable. That love came close for us. The sign for us, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That sign made the shepherds rush into Bethlehem to find Jesus. That sign of God's love, that he was coming close to us instead of just staying by himself in heaven. That's the sign of hope and love that's there for all generations and for you and me today. And it is that love, amazed and seen firsthand by Mary, the one closest, the one perhaps who most understood what God and his love was trying to accomplish in this world. It says that when Mary heard everything the shepherds had said, when she considered all the angel had told her and had told Joseph, that she treasured it all up in her heart. Nowadays, maybe we don't take the time to do that. We just take the picture of the moment, or we might write it down in our journal. People didn't have those luxuries back then, so they wanted to remember what these moments were like, remember those words that were shared, remember those feelings of love and strength and peace and hope and joy. Mary treasured up all of that. Pondering means that she thought it over and over. She tossed it back and forth in her mind. Oh, this is what the angel meant when he said this. This is what the angel was saying, that the Lord would accomplish this. This love and peace that I feel is what God wants every human in the world to feel. Mary treasured and pondered those things. And today, this Christmas, I'd ask all of us to ponder. What does God love? What could it heal in our hearts? What fear could God's love drive away? What peace and stillness could God's love bring and take away the worry? What could the love of God free in you? What could God's love empower you to be or to do? I think this Christmas, these are great things for us to ponder and realize that the love that came at Christmas was the love that went to the cross. And when he said it is finished, he didn't mean his work for us was finished. He meant his work paying for our sins was finished. He's still working. He's still loving. He's still praying. And that's still something worth pondering. As we let that pondering go on in our minds, I hope we will let the love that God sent first in Jesus in this world as that baby, the love that showed its full extent on the cross, and the love that is still reaching out to us this Christmas. I hope we'll ponder that love and grow strong in that love, and be freed in that love this Christmas and always. Merry Christmas, everyone. Amen.